An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 21. Reviewing the Situation. Midnight had come and gone by the time the girls slid into the underground home. Piper didn't think she'd ever felt so tired. Midge had been eager to mastermind what to do with the pirates. Belle had seemed happy to help, and Piper had just kept a low and quiet profile. They returned from Kid's Cove via air in the longboat, courtesy of Belle's slim supply of pixie dust, after first searching out a small valley where they left off the prisoners. Belle said the place was called Slightly Gulch. Leaving the men laying on the ground, the girls agreed it was better than in the brambles of a haunted wood. They'd stopped at Kid's Creek, near home, to wash off the mud, so they were more or less clean, but they were damp, bedraggled, chilly, and very tired.
"Do you think we could risk having a fire tonight?"
Stinky stood shivering by the empty fireplace. She looked hopefully at Piper.
"We can put it out before we fall asleep," she coaxed.
Piper had forbidden indoor fires since the girls had arrived to avoid risk of sending their home up in flames. After all, the Never Tree grew only feet away from the hearth. But she didn't want to call the shots just now. She felt she had lost that privilege. She looked at Zonk, who looked at Midge, who shrugged.
"I guess we could just this once. We could do it."
The strain of the day showed on Midge's usually remote face.
"The pirates will stay on the Jolly Roger tonight for sure, so they won't see the smoke."
"I don't think we're safe here at all," Piper blurted, unable to help herself. "When the pirates look for me tomorrow, this is where they'll look first."
"You'll have to move," Belle said from her corner, "but not tonight."
"Right, but before dawn tomorrow, we'll have to get out of here. Belle, I want you—"
"Don't you think you ought to keep a lookout tonight?"
Belle cut Piper off, her tone sharp.
"Huh?"
Piper took a step back, confused.
"I'll do it," Zonk volunteered.
Pip put a hand on Zonk's arm. "I know you would, Zonk. But if any of you are out there, I won't sleep. So it has to be me." Before turning to climb out, she whispered,
"I know what you had to do tonight, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your courage."
Zonk felt a flush of warmth spreading outward from her heart. Pan knew about her having to stab the pirate. She felt better even before getting warm and fed.
"We'll go get firewood."
Flim and Flam wiggled outside in Pan's wake. Within moments, pine cones and sticks of various sizes started dropping down their hollow tree.
"Are you feeling any better?"
Stinky knelt beside Belle. Zonk watched, eyes narrowed. Everyone but Pan had insisted on bringing the fairy home with them for the night. The hungover pixie had taken up her old place of residence, a rounded hollow in the underground home outfitted just for her. She seemed a little put out by it, though. Probably it made her miss Peter.
"We saw your digs," Zonk said.
Belle stared, uncomprehending.
"I mean the place you live, your fairy castle," Zonk explained. "The one on the bank of the mysterious river."
Belle looked away, straightening her very rumpled feather dress.
"Maybe you have others," Zonk finished.
Belle shook her head.
"No, that's Fairy's Nook," she said. "I've lived there a long time now."
She hesitated, as if to say more, but didn't.
"It's pretty," Thumb said.
The little one lay curled in a blanketed basket.
"Thank you," Belle smiled a little. "Do you know who used to sleep in that basket?"
"Mm-hmm,"
Thumb nodded.
"Michael used to sleep here."
"How did you know?"
Belle looked puzzled.
We all know, Pudge said. Peter Pan was one of the DVDs we had at the foster home. We've all seen it dozens of times.
DVD? Belle's eyes glazed and her wings drooped.
Never mind, Zonk said.
She still felt suspicious of Belle, even though the fairy had told them all about the fake dinner invitation from Captain Littlejack and her unwilling imprisonment.
Midge had described the remains of a very fancy dinner in the captain's quarters. That was no fake dinner invitation. There was something the fairy wasn't telling them. Pan seemed to know, but she wasn't talking either.
I miss movie night, Thumb mumbled, her namesake firmly in her mouth.
We could tell stories, Stinky said, looking around uncertainly. I bet Belle has lots of them.
She sighed dreamily.
Is that enough?
Flim's head appeared from above, upside down.
Huh? Zonk blinked at the pile of firewood spread across the floor. She hadn't been paying attention to any of it.
Oh, yeah.
With the fire blazing, everyone huddled around it, except Thumb, who was already asleep. Belle, who stayed in her fairy corner, and Pan, who insisted on keeping her lookout post outside in the tree's branches. In spite of the relaxing warmth and the comfort of being home again, tension clung like an unwanted guest.
Pan's in a weird mood, Midge said. Do you think she's going to be okay?
Zonk shrugged.
Sure she will.
She looked around at the other five worried faces. Trying to lighten things up, she added, She's tough as nails, just like the rest of us.
I wonder if she's sad, Flim said.
Sad? About what? Zonk asked, surprised.
About her parents, Flam explained. We've all known our parents are gone for a long time. She just found out a few days ago.
Silence stretched on as they pondered this, staring into the crackling flames.
She's probably lonely, Pudge said.
She's probably cold,
Stinky added, moving closer to the fire.
Maybe she's embarrassed about having to be saved,
Midge reasoned.
But we're all cool with that, right?
Of course. Sure we are. Why wouldn't we be? It was a blast.
Even if it was scary, Zonk said.
Right, Midge agreed. I bet she has some kind of plan.
You could count on Midge to be the practical voice, Zonk thought. Somehow that comforted her.
What we have to do now, Midge continued, is find out what that plan is so we can help.
Hope she doesn't do something stupid, Pudge muttered.
Like what? Zonk poked the fire with a stick, turning a log. Sparks showered up the chimney.
I don't know.
Pudge picked at the frayed edge of her pajama bottoms. She didn't meet anyone's eyes. She finally looked up, eyes bleak.
What if she goes and feeds herself to the dragon or something?
Nah, Midge said. She won't do that. She might do something idiotic like take on the whole pirate crew in a sword fight, but not the dragon thing.
How come not?
Flam nestled closer to her twin.
Because she's got us now, Midge answered simply.
I have a theory.
She sat up on her knees and folded her hands in her lap.
I think she planned to fly off to the Neverland.
What do you mean? Pudge scoffed. She didn't know she was related to Peter Pan until Belle brought her here. She told us so.
True, Midge agreed. She didn't yet know she was Piper Pan, but remember she kept getting caught trying to jump from high places?
She shook her head, frowning.
She must have been trying to get to the Neverland.
Pudge commented. So she wasn't just Looney Tunes? She laughed.
Zonk smiled.
Makes sense. What if she hadn't got caught? Pudge asked.
She would have hurt herself, Midge said, her face solemn. I don't think she could have flown without Belle.
For sure, Zonk said. She still can't fly without help. At least that's what she said.
Right.
Belle's voice came from her corner. They all turned and looked at the rumpled fairy.
Will you teach us to fly?
Stinky asked, her eyes shining.
I certainly will, Belle fluffed her hair. Tomorrow, first thing.
She lay down and closed her eyes as if she hadn't a care in the world. Zonk exchanged glances with Midge and Pudge. Their faces reflected the reservations she felt.
It'll be a start, Midge said. Whatever Pan's plan is, we'll need to be mobile. Flying on our own would be much more efficient than flying around in the longboat, and we could break into teams if we need to. That could be a real advantage.
Zonk saw the gleam in Midge's eyes as the wheels in her clever head started turning. She nodded.
Let's keep the flying longboat a secret. The prisoners already know about it, Flim protested.
Yeah, but they'll think they were seeing things, Midge said.
Oh, like they were under our spell, Flam giggled.
By the time we get a note to the captain telling him where to find them, Midge continued, they'll be so whacked out no one will believe anything they say anyway. Who would think they were really passengers in a flying longboat?
It takes too much pixie dust for me to keep flying that boat.
Belle lay facing away from them, but her voice reached them easily. So much for her being asleep over there. Zonk rolled her eyes.
Stop it,
Stinky said, elbowing Zonk in the ribs.
No,
Zonk poked her back. Far from being asleep, Belle sat up and came to the entry of her hollow.
I'm going out to keep Piper company. You should get to sleep. You'll need your rest for learning to fly.
With her chin up, the fairy did an ungainly takeoff and made her exit, flying in a wobbling pattern.
Okay, everybody, Midge directed. Belle is right. It's lights out time. Tomorrow will be a big day. We've got to learn to fly, figure out a safe place to relocate our camp, and move forward with Pan's plan, whatever it is.
Zonk helped Midge tuck Stinky and the twins in, and Pudge put out the fire before they each crawled into their hammocks. Several minutes passed. Pudge started to snore.
Zonk?
Midge said quietly.
Yeah? Do you miss Seattle?
Zonk counted three breaths before answering.
No. Me neither.
Zonk smiled in the dark. From her lookout post in the branches of the hollow tree, Piper saw Belle flying toward her. The little old fairy landed in a heap on a wide branch beside her. But Piper didn't look at her, not straight on. She was still too angry. No, not so much angry. Really, she was too hurt. How could Belle have sold her out to the pirate captain that way? They sat in silence for a time, listening to the girls wishing each other good night in the underground home below. When the voices fell silent, a lone cricket's chirp filled the space between them. Piper thought the air smelled a little like sulfur, which kept her heart in her throat. The pirates were a terrible threat, but the dragon was way beyond that. The dragon was unbeatable. When Sinkaraz's whirling red eyes had stared into hers, Piper had been sure it was all over. She shuddered, remembering. What would she do if it showed up here, hanging in the sky over the hollow tree, hungry and terrifying?
It's just the smell of the fire downstairs going out, Belle said.
What are you, a mind reader? Piper snapped. She hadn't meant to speak so sharply, but then again, maybe she had.
Sometimes that's exactly what I am.
Belle fluttered to a tiny branch closer to Piper's eye level. The better to confront you, my dear, Piper thought, but what she said aloud was,
Oh? Yes. Oh. I know perfectly well you want me to take you all back to Seattle.
Piper just stared. That was exactly what she wanted.
It's the next thing you want me to do to repay you for saving my life, Belle explained. And we needed to talk about that away from the others.
That's why you sent me out here, Piper said, the realization popping in her head like a soap bubble.
Right.
Belle wrapped her arms around her ribcage. Piper wondered if this feathered fairy was cold or feeling something else. Afraid? Defensive? Well, she should feel defensive, Piper thought, with a bite.
Belle sighed. Look, there are two things. First, I don't have anywhere near the supply of pixie dust we would need to fly the longboat all the way back to Seattle. Not yet. I'll need several days to recover before I'll have it.
Fine, Piper snapped. Then we need a plan for where to hide for those several days.
Second, Belle hissed, her teeth exposed in a cat-like growl, Seattle is the first place Captain Little Jack will look for you if he doesn't find you here in the Neverland.
Piper opened her mouth to interrupt, but Belle stopped her with a warning finger.
And I know that you want, above all, to keep the other girls safe.
Piper's mouth stayed open, this time in surprise.
If he goes to Seattle, he won't just find you. He'll find all of them.
Not if I just drop them off and run away, Piper said, defiant.
Why would you do that? Belle asked. You've finally made friends. You're connected now. They're your, what did you call it? Your merry band.
Piper let that sink in.
You think so?
She hadn't meant to ask.
Of course. Thanks to you, they just did something that made them prouder of themselves than they've ever been.
But I failed as their leader, Piper said.
How did you fail? You helped them gain skills and confidence in themselves. What more should a leader do?
A leader should not get captured and force everyone to save her.
Slug trails and snail slime.
Belle's wings vibrated irritation.
Look, Piper Pan, you showed bravery and loyalty. You were willing to sacrifice yourself to keep the other girls safe, and you risked your life to save me.
Piper looked at her hands in her lap. To save Thumb, she corrected.
Right, said Belle, her voice crisp. My point is, you behaved like a hero. But that isn't why they're willing to follow you anywhere. They'll do that because you love them.
You're saying all it takes to make friends is to love someone?
Most of the time, yes.
Piper was quiet for a moment, listening to the cricket chirp. Belle was saying the others wanted her. A bright thrill shimmered through her.
Real friends. Think how wonderful life could be, she thought, with real friends. It would almost be like belonging.
You have a place, Piper Pan, Belle continued.
Whether you are ready to own it or not, the Neverland is your place. Being Piper Pan is your purpose in life. Why would you abandon that?
Tears welled in Piper's eyes. Belle was right. More than any place she'd been since her parents had disappeared from their happy family apartment near the Space Needle, the Neverland felt like home, even though the place was cursed and nearly lifeless. She met Belle's eyes straight on. I'm sorry I couldn't save it for you.
It's not too late,
Belle said, eyebrows raised in a challenge. Piper ignored it. She had enough to worry about without trying to fly again. Instead, she shook her head in wonder at Belle's insight. She did belong here. At least, she did now that her parents were never coming back. And with friends, Piper's thought continued. With real friends, it would be so much better. Who cared about bare trees and dry earth? As long as they had honeyed spring water and a safe place to live, the whole island could be their playground. Who knew? Maybe they could all learn to fly, and they could definitely play pirate.
The pirates.
Piper's face fell. Having friends didn't diminish the danger they were in from Captain Littlejack and his crew. There wasn't any place safe from the pirates in the Neverland. Maybe there wasn't a place anywhere they'd be safe. If she'd learned one thing in the last terrifying day, it was to keep those who are precious to you safe. The best chance the girls had now was to be far away from here, and far away from her. The irony of it made Piper's throat ache. It seemed her love only put people in danger. First her parents, now her friends. "I see you understand," Belle said, misinterpreting Piper's expression completely. "So what we need to do is to find a protected place here in the Neverland for you and your merry band. We need all of you to learn to fly, then we can go about the business of bringing the Neverland back to life." "Oh, no, you don't." Piper's tone made it clear Belle was not welcome to continue with that line of thought. "You are right that I want them safe. And you are right, actually, that I belong in the Neverland," she admitted. "What you aren't right about is that they should stay here and risk their lives with me." "But this time it's my turn to talk," Piper said. "In a few minutes, I'm going to take a cat nap while you keep a lookout, if you really think it'll do any good. And then I'm going to take my things and go."
"But where will you go?"
"What do you care?" Piper regretted the verbal jab when she saw the look on Belle's face. For whatever reason, in her strange fairy way, clearly Belle did care. Piper cleared her throat, wanting to dislodge the sudden lump of shame. "Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I just have to stay one step ahead of the pirates, and I can do that." Belle looked doubtful. Piper went back to giving directions. "Tomorrow, get the girls up and going as soon as there's light. Take them somewhere safe on the island. You know the Neverland like the back of your hand. Can you think of someplace safe?" The fairy nodded. "There's a cave in Mermaid's Lagoon the pirates don't know about."
"Good," Piper said. She felt a weight lift from her chest.
"Go ahead and teach them to fly," she coaxed. "They'll love it. I know they will. I'm sure they'll be better students than I was."
Belle looked relieved.
"But as soon as the flying lessons are done, I expect you to take them all back to Seattle."
"Back to that awful place?"
From Belle's expression, she must be thinking about horrid Mrs. Fitch. Piper snorted.
"Yes, at least they won't be in danger of being drowned, stabbed, burned, or whatever other nasty punishments the pirates can think of."
Belle seemed reluctant, but eventually nodded. "If they all can fly," Piper reasoned, "you'll be able to leave right away instead of waiting for enough pixie dust for the longboat."
"I'll need enough to fly myself," Belle insisted.
"No, you won't," Piper said. "If the others can fly, they can carry you. Stinky would be thrilled to do that, I'm sure. And you can still tell everyone where to go."
"Huh."
Belle looked put out, but had no other comment.
"All righty then," Piper said. "We're straight, right? You promise to take them back?"
Belle tightened her lips, but agreed.
"I promise."
Piper nodded. She still wasn't easy with Belle. She didn't know where they stood and was afraid to ask. But she believed the little old fairy would keep her word.
"Thank you," she said, "for saving Thumb."
"You're welcome," Belle answered. Satisfied, Piper propped herself in the crook of the hollow tree. She'd no more than closed her eyes when exhaustion overtook her and she slid into sleep. She'd hoped to spend a dreamless hour or two, but the vision of a hungry dragon, eyes whirling red, wouldn't leave her in peace. Belle watched her small charge sleep. She, too, was exhausted, but uneasy thoughts kept her from relaxing. She'd given her word to do everything she could to keep the girls out of harm's way. But what about the Neverland? She couldn't just let that go with Piper's apology. In spite of her inability to fly, laugh, or crow, Belle still needed Piper to save her precious home. She'd seen Piper fight. She'd experienced her heart. The girl seemed more like Peter's granddaughter every day. Could she really just give in and let Piper throw away her life fighting Little Jack and his men? Belle sighed. She'd lost Little Jack tonight. It was crystal clear that there would be no going back to getting her way through the handsome pirate captain. She'd lost sway over him. This betrayal of his was his last, because she would not give him another opportunity. Yes, she'd lost Captain Little Jack. Now it looked like she was about to lose Peter's granddaughter as well. And with her, all hope of breaking the curse of the Neverland. Belle shook her head in frustration and buried her face in her hands. She'd known getting herself involved with a bunch of girls would be trouble. Spreading her fingers, she peered between them and watched Piper's face twitching in dreams. Too late now. Too late to get uninvolved. Too late to undo what had been done. Piper Pan was here in the Neverland, and with her a whole pack of trouble. Belle took a deep breath and faced the truth. She hadn't bargained for this. She hadn't bargained for the ache in her heart. She'd fallen hard for this trouble, this Piper Pan.